Am I on? Fantastic. It is really lovely to see you. As David said, we've been doing every week. We've had a stream on a Tuesday. And I just want to take this opportunity to say a really, really big thank you. Thank you to the parents for encouraging the children to get involved. And especially thank you for the photographs that you've sent through. They have been amazing. And we're going to see some of them at the end of the service. I want to say thank you to the children. You've done amazingly. It's been really good to see your energy and your enthusiasm. And so thank you very much for joining us and for being part of our summer stream. But I do also, and I don't say this very often, but I want to say thank you to David, because I quite often say, David, I've had an idea. And you can see in his head he's thinking, that's going to involve technology. And actually, the amount of time that it takes to put it together, even one summer stream, is a huge amount of time. And he does an amazing job with the technology. Everything that you see this morning, he has done. So I'm sorry, David, I don't like to embarrass you, but I just think this summer stream could not have happened if we didn't have a pastor who was amazing at technology. So through our summer stream, we met lots of different characters, and I hope that you recognise some of them today. I would like to say that I drew these, but those of you that know me know I can't even do stick men very well. So I didn't actually draw these. But these are three of the characters that we've met during our summer stream. And all of them did really great things for God. So you would think that they are amazing people who are never scared, who never say no, and never mess up. Not right. All of them felt they weren't good enough. And that's our message to you today. If you have walked in this morning and you think you're too little or too big, too old, too young for God to use you, absolutely not true. And that's what we're going to learn today. Because every single person that's walked in this building today, I was thinking of this as I was driving over and it really made me smile. He knows everybody's name. Even if I don't, because I'm rubbish at names, he knows everybody's name and he knows who you are and he knows what you're feeling inside, and I think that's quite amazing. But he knew all these characters, and we're going to try and remember a little bit about these characters, and I need some help. And again, I see the panic coming in people's eyes. It's really funny, when I say I need help, there's no eye contact by lots of you. So, our first character, I wonder if any of you children, and it was a long time ago, 6 weeks ago, can you remember who our first character was in our summer stream? And David talked about it on the Sunday. And I'll give you a clue. He had a brother and he pretended to be hairy. Anyone shout his name out? What was his name? Shout it out to me. Jacob. Well done. It was Jacob. And this is Jacob here. Now, Jacob did an amazing job for God in the end. But it didn't start off like that. Now, hopefully, under some of your chairs, we've got some slips of paper. If you've got a slip of paper under your chair, or if it's near you, can you just pick it up? Don't bring it up yet. If there's something under your chair, under one of the chairs that isn't sat on, if you could pick that up as well, that would be good. So, we are going to learn a little bit about Jacob and what he was like, and why he felt he maybe wasn't good enough for God. So, if you've got a blue slip of paper, can you, or if you don't want to do it, give it to someone that will. Come up and show us what's on your blue slip. I saw that, Trudy. I did see that. If you'd like to bring it up. Yeah, come on, Michelle. She was very speedy at passing it to somebody else, absolutely. You don't have to. Do you want me to take it? Are you happy to come up? Fantastic. There's nothing like being shown up. I'm really sorry, but it's lovely to see you up here. Thank you. So, we've got some blue slips of paper, and it tells us a little bit about why Jacob thought he wasn't good enough for God. So, let's see if we can read what they say. Michelle, do you want to go first?
Oh, this says, you think you're overlooked by his father. Is that right? Overlooked by his father.
So, Jacob was overlooked by his father. His father liked his twin brother a lot better than him and thought that he was what a man should be. And so, Jacob was overlooked by his father. Thank you, Michelle. Do you mind just blue tacking it to the wall there for me? That's fantastic. Fantastic. And what else do we learn about Jacob?
He was quiet and homely.
He was quiet and homely. He preferred to be at home cooking than being out fighting. And so he was quiet and homely and didn't maybe fit into the idea of what a man should have been in those days. He was quiet and homely. Thank you. If you could stick that up, that's lovely. We were having a discussion at our Ruth group, actually, on Friday afternoon about how everybody seems to want to be different to who they are. Somebody in the group was saying they really wish that they were quieter. I won't let you guess who that was. Someone in the group was saying they really wish that they were louder. And we were saying, doesn't that tell us a lot? That actually, quite often, we're not satisfied with who God's made us to be. We don't have to be quieter. We don't have to be louder. We just need to be who God's made us to be. And so Jacob was quiet and homely, but God still used him.
Afraid.
So Jacob was actually afraid. Thank you, Ian. So he was afraid. He was really afraid of seeing his brother when he knew that he had to meet up with his brother. But God was with him, and God actually met Jacob in an amazing way. And if you want to read more about that, look it up in the Bible. But God really reassured him that he wasn't on his own. And the last thing we know about Jacob?
Deceived his brother.
Fantastic. Thank you. Do you want to pin it up for me? Lovely. So he deceived his brother. He messed up. He did, although it sort of worked in God's favour, he did try to deceive people. And so the answer to was Jacob good enough, when you look at those things, you'd probably say maybe not. But God did use him and used him in an amazing way. And I think Jonathan and Jesse are going to come up and read for us. You got your readings, boys? Did you practice your readings last night? Yeah, come on then. Do you need them or do you know them?
Oh, I know them.
Who's going first? Was your reading first? Yeah?
I am the Lord God of your father Abraham and the God of Isaac. I will give you and your descendants the land which you are lying. All the people on earth will be blessed through you and your offspring. I will not leave you until I have done what I have promised you.
Wow, amazing. Thank you, boys. Brilliant. Okay, so Jacob was all those things, but listen to what God said. I will not leave you until I have finished what I had planned for you. Isn't that amazing? And that's the same message to us today. So that was our first character, Jacob. Can anyone tell us who our next character was? Who did we learn about then? Sophie and Emily. Well done, Moses. Fantastic. We learnt about Moses. And Moses, we actually had 2 weeks on Moses because Moses' life was just so full that we had to split it into two because he did so much. But was Moses always that amazing, powerful man of God? I wonder how Moses' life, that was difficult to say, started off. I wonder how he became the person that he was. So if you've got a yellow slip of paper under your chair, if you can bring it up for me. Fantastic. Who is it that didn't want to come up? Was it Darcy or was it Mike? Hello, darling. Come over here with me. That's it. Fantastic. We might have to come over here so everyone can see you because that stands there. Well done. Okay, so let's learn about Moses. Moses did amazing things for God, but his life didn't necessarily start off like that. So let's see what we've got. Can you say after me? Do you want to read into the microphone? Say, didn't.
Didn't.
No. Say it with me. Didn't know where he belonged. He didn't know where he belonged. Thank you, darling. Do you want to stick it up on the wall? Yeah, over here, if I show you. Just over here. You can do it down here because you're one of our little ones. Fantastic. Thank you. Go and sit yourself down then. Well done. So Moses didn't know where he belonged. Moses grew up and was actually a real mixture of people. And he really didn't know whether he was the princess's son, whether he belonged to the group that was being really downtrodden. He had no idea really where he belonged. And yet he belonged to God. And that's a real message to us as well. Erica.
He gave excuses to God.
Fantastic. Thank you. He gave excuses to God. Moses came up with lots and lots of excuses as to why he couldn't serve God. And I don't know about you, but I am the chief of excuses. There's so many reasons why I can't do what God wants me to do. But God seems to crack through all of them. And he did that with Moses and told him, you are good enough. Moses still argued, you are good enough. Moses still argued, okay, you are good enough, but I'll give you someone to help you. I love that story because God does understand, but he does have a purpose for us. And that's really important to remember. Hello, gorgeous.
Run away and hide.
He ran away and he hid. Fantastic. Can you stick that up there for me? Thank you. He ran away and he hid. It's really, it makes me feel so old when I see these children that like used to be tiny and they, I know, it makes me feel very old. He ran away and he hid. Moses did something wrong. And rather than facing up to what he'd done, he decided to go and run away. I wonder how many times we do that. We might not physically take ourselves miles away up into a mountain, but I know lots of us hide away, particularly when things are tough. God will be with us. He won't let us go. And he did that with Moses as well. And our last one?
He killed somebody.
He killed somebody. Again, thank you. If you can stick that up for me, that's amazing. He killed somebody. He did something wrong. So when you look at somebody like Moses, I think if you go outside today, if you go into County Mall today, and you ask people in County Mall to name somebody from the Bible, I bet most of them will be able to name Moses, even if they've never read the Bible before. He is so well known. And yet he felt all those things before he served God. That should reassure us. And so I think it's Sophie's going to come up and do a reading to tell us how Moses did some amazing things for God.
And the Lord said to Moses, I will do the very thing you've asked because I am pleased with you and I know you by name.
Fantastic. Thank you. So God was with Moses, didn't give up on him, and he did great things through him because he knew his name. God knows your name, just saying. Okay, the next person that we had over here, and this was somebody very young, so this should really inspire those of us that are a bit younger in here. Who's the last person, not the last person we looked at, but who do we look at next? Can anyone remember? Anyone remember who we looked at? Yes, shout it out to me. Well done, it was David. Do you remember David? He was a shepherd boy, and then he really, really fought his giants. So if anybody has got a red slip of paper, if you can bring it up to me. Stand over here, Faith, because you're going to do my reading for me in a minute. Thank you, darling. Excellent. Now let's see how David felt or what David was like before he did his great things for his for God.
Overlooked by his family.
Fantastic. Thank you. So again, David was overlooked by his family. David told us that actually when they were looking for somebody to be king, to be blessed by God, David wasn't even considered. Because he was just completely overlooked. So can we stick, sorry, that's it, brilliant. Can you stick that up there for me? Wonderful. So he was overlooked by his family. He was only good for looking after sheep. There's no way that he was good for anything else. Excellent. If you want to go and sit yourself down, brilliant. What else do we know about David?
A musical rather than a warrior.
Fantastic. He was musical rather than a warrior. He actually played the harp and enjoyed playing the harp to the sheep out in the field, I think. So rather than actually being able to go and fight that giant Goliath, maybe he would play music to them. What else do we find out about David?
He was smallest.
He was the smallest. Brilliant. Thank you, Marceline. Excellent. Thank you. He was the smallest. David was the smallest and the youngest. Now, I'm going to embarrass Sean here because one of the things I've done really, really badly as a mum is when I have my eldest child, I've got loads and loads of photos of them. Loads of photos. And then the next one, quite a few photos. And then the next one, quite a few photos. And then Sean as a baby, not so many. Because once you get down the line, it tends to lose, although you love them just as much as you love all the others, it tends to lose its novelty the first day at school, everything, you've done it all before. And can you imagine David? He was number 8. So he was the youngest of lots and lots of children. So he really was the smallest and probably felt insignificant, which takes us to our last point, which is he was...
The youngest.
The youngest. Fantastic. So, poor old David. He was overlooked by his family. He was musical. He was small. And he was young. But we know from the story, those of you that have been watching the stream, what did he do? What did he do? Anyone know? Shout it out to me and then I'll say what you said. What did he do? Who did he kill? He did. He got rid of Goliath and he destroyed an enemy and freed people. So although he was small, overlooked and musical and the youngest, he still did an amazing job for God and didn't think that he couldn't do it. I just need to say one part, the part of the story that I like the best on that, was when he decides he's going to go and fight the giant, Saul tries to put his armor on him. And it didn't fit. It wasn't right. There's no way David could go and fight that giant with Saul's armor on him. David had to be himself. David didn't have to be anyone else. David did God's work by just being him. I think there's a message in there for us as well. Okay, brilliant. So David had lots and lots of reasons why maybe he couldn't be used by God, and Faith's going to tell us what happened.
I have been with you wherever you have gone. Now I will make your name great like the names of the greatest men on earth.
Fantastic, thank you. Brilliant, go and sit yourself down. Amazing. So, three characters. All of them had reasons why they couldn't be used by God. But they were so powerful in what they did for God that they were actually part of our Superbook series. Isn't that amazing? So we are now going to think about another character. Because the last character in the Superbook that we looked at was a character called Daniel. And we're going to think about the story of Daniel today. But you'll be pleased to know I'm going to sit down and stop talking, because we're actually going to watch the story of Daniel. You might recognise one of the characters.
I close my eyes.
Not that one, Philip, sorry.
I can see a world its way.
Oh, hello. My name is Lawrence. It's so nice to meet you.
Hello. Nice to meet you too, I think.
You look scared. Is anything the matter?
Well, I sort of am standing next to a lion.
And
they are vicious creatures, keen of the jungle, top of the food chain, teeth like daggers. They prey on people, and I don't mean the laying on of hands type of prayer. Need I say more?
Oh, don't worry about me. I'm vegetarian.
Vegetarian? How can a lion be a vegetarian?
Well, bit of a long story, but it goes right back to my great-great-great-great-great-great-great-uncle Leo. He had the most bizarre experience, and it changed him for life. Do you want to hear what happened?
Okay, but I haven't got long, so can you stick to the main points?
Very funny. Well, Uncle Leo had the coolest job. Back in those days, they used this den of lions to punish people. If you broke the law, you got thrown into the pit with the lions. It was pretty scary.
Wow, that sounds it. I thought 10 minutes on the naughty step was bad enough.
Well, there was this man named Daniel, who was one of the prisoners that the king had brought from Israel. The king really, really liked Daniel. The other three guys who were in charge with Daniel didn't like this, so they made up a plan to get rid of him.
That's not very friendly, is it?
Exactly. They knew that Daniel would never disobey God. He even ate vegetables for 3 whole years instead of all the yummy food on the king's table, just so that he wouldn't disobey God.
What? No cookies?
Nope.
Or burgers?
Nope.
Or donuts? You know, the ones with the sugar coating on top and the...
Look, do you want me to tell this story?
Yes, sorry. Carry on.
They knew that Daniel always did what God asked. So all they had to do was make a new law that would force Daniel to disobey God.
But you said Daniel would never disobey God.
Right. This new law was a trap. They knew Daniel would break the law before he would disobey God.
Oh, I get it. That's pretty sneaky.
So they made a law that you couldn't pray to anyone except the king for a whole month. If anyone prayed to someone else beside the king, guess what the punishment was?
Go to the naughty step, go to bed with no story, no telly for a day, nothing but quiche for a whole month?
No, you would get thrown into the lion's den, where Uncle Leo worked.
Oh no! So Daniel prayed to God and the king had him thrown to the lions? I don't like this story. It hasn't got a very happy ending, has it?
But it's not the end of the story. God was protecting Daniel. Even though Uncle Leo and all the other lions were starving, God closed their mouths and they just couldn't eat Daniel. It was such an amazing experience for Uncle Leo that none of us have eaten meat since.
I like that ending. Daniel was really brave. I wish I could be that brave. I just get scared.
I'm sure Daniel did feel scared at times, but he knew he was doing what God wanted him to do, and that was the most important thing. He knew that God was with him, whatever happened.
So, is God still the same today?
Yes, he has promised never to leave you. Are you worried about something?
Yes. Bit of a long story, I'm afraid. I asked to sing, and eventually they said yes, and now I'm a little bit scared.
I'll tell you what, why don't we practice together? It might just make you braver when you have to do it for real on your own.
Oh, yes, please. Are you ready? After three, one, two, three.
In the jungle, the mighty jungle, the lion sleeps tonight. In the jungle, the mighty jungle, the lion sleeps tonight. Woomba, 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 woomba way.
So that was the story of Daniel. Lots of characters that God used as part of his story. And then as we know, in the New Testament, we learn about the ultimate character, the character that really came to save us, the character that gives us the strength to be who we are today, and that was Jesus. And he wrote the rest of God's story. But God's story isn't finished. He's got so much more to do. And I guess the question is, do we want to be part of that story? Because actually, however small, however big, however old, however young, however scared, however brave we are, God wants to use us. He longs to use all of us. We just need to accept him as our friend and our saviour and then ask him what he wants us to do. God's used some really unlikely characters to do his work, and he longs to use us too. We're going to finish with our summer stream video now. And I want you to think really carefully. What's the next chapter of God's superbook going to be? And will you be part of it?
I close my eyes and I can see a world that's waiting up for me that I call my own. Through the dark, through the door, through where no one's been before, but it feels like home. They can say it all sounds crazy. They can say I've lost my mind. I don't care, so call me crazy. We can live in a world that we design. 'Cause every night I lie in bed There's a house we can build. Every room inside is filled with things from far away. Special things I compile, each one there to make you smile on a rainy day. They can say it all sounds crazy. They can say we've lost our minds. I don't care if they call us crazy. Run away to a world that we desire.
Every night I lie in bed, the brightest colors fill my head. A million dreams keeping me. The world could be a vision of the one I see. A million dreams is all it's gonna take. A million dreams for the world we're gonna make.
However big, however small, let me be part of it all. Share your dreams with me.
The brightest colors fill my head.
A million dreams are keeping me awake.
A million dreams. I think of what the world could be. A vision of the one I see. A million dreams is all it's gonna take. A million dreams for the world we're gonna
make. And the kids did an amazing job right throughout the summer, and thanks to Kerry for all the hard work pulling it together, writing all the sketches that we did, keeping me in order, keeping me in line, and all of the things that were necessary. I'm just glad I got to sing Amelia at last. You know. It can't have been that bad. Margaret got up to dance, huh? So if you want, anyone wants a recording of that, I'll make it available for you. And just to say, Kerry is now known as the woman from the telly. One of the kids came in to, I think it was a Friday, wasn't it? Came in to Little Stars and says, "Oh, look, it's the woman from the telly." So that's what Kerry's now known as. So thank you. Let's pray and just kind of finish that before we move on. Father, we thank you for the truth. We thank you we can have fun. We can make fun of ourselves. We can have fun enjoying your word as well. But what I pray that we'd really get to grips with this message, that we're not too weak, we're not too foolish, we haven't messed up too much, our mistakes are not final, that you love us with an everlasting love, and you can use us, flawed, imperfect as we are, because of what Jesus Christ has done for us and wants to do through us. Help us to really get to grips with that message, not just in our heads, but in our hearts, whatever age we are, that we would be those wholehearted followers of Jesus Christ. In Jesus' name. Amen. Well, if you give me a couple more minutes, we're going to do some announcements, a final song, and then we're going to have our picnic together. So we brought some goodies, brought some nice stuff. Excellent. So for those of you who are prepared and know, we're having a picnic outside. The sun is out. Yep, it's not even a bank holiday. Sun's out. So we're going to go outside. There's some tables and chairs. Some of you will have bought blankets and picnic. I'm sure there's enough food for those of you who are guests who haven't come prepared to stay along with us. We'll happily share. But please do stay and enjoy some time with us if you don't have to rush off. Next week, there is a food theme happening. Next week's going to be very different. So God willing, we will be outside right from the start. And my good friend, Christy Smith, who's quite an incredible testimony of, he talks about three miracles in his life, and one of those was quite a significant healing. So he's going to come next week. He's going to be chef as well as speaker. So we're going to do paella. For those of you who don't like seafood, don't worry. It's not going to be a seafood paella. We're going to vary it up slightly so that everyone can really take part. So next week will be very different. It'll be very relaxed. It'll be very informal. It will be a 10:30 start, but we hope to be in the garden for that. And we'll probably start with some tea and coffee and things like that. And then we'll do stuff with Christy. And then we'll get to eat lunch together. Sound good? Some of you aren't so convinced, but it will be good. Yeah. Thank you, Sandy, for a bit of enthusiasm. So a couple of things we want to talk about further into September. We don't do this very often. In fact, I think we've only done it once in the last 3 years. I'd like to do a special missions offering on Sunday, the 19th of September. Many of you know we have partners around the world in India, in Pakistan, in Sri Lanka, Macedonia, and Kenya, Uganda, and God willing, Nigeria at the end of the month. I've booked my flights. I've booked a COVID test. I'm waiting on Nigeria confirming a test out there. It's complicated, as they say. Not just your Facebook status that's complicated. Trying to travel anywhere is complicated. But many of you will know the challenges around the world. We have a separate missions account, people we're trying to support. So we're going to ask you to give, especially on that day. Now, please hear my heart on this. This is kind of on top of the regular giving, all right? So this is kind of that sacrificial, that extra, that kind of bit beyond. And so we don't demand it. We're asking you to prayerfully consider what you can contribute to people around the world. Next slide, please, Philip. So we have a special missions account that's separate from our general funds and the stuff that we need to make the church function, that we need to make the church run, that you're able to participate, that allow us to do stuff like next week without any cost. So we have a separate missions account where we try and support people around the world. And so one of the legitimate questions that people ask, and particularly for this on the 19th, is where will the money actually go? What are we going to do with it? Well, we're going to support pastors who are struggling to feed their families. Many of you will know in some countries that are developing, like India, they don't have the support structures that we have. They don't have the backdrops that we have. If they can't work, often they can't eat, quite literally. So we have a number of pastors. Part of what I do is teaching the groups, and it's a group of about 150 pastors. At the minute, I'm doing online, and in a couple of weeks' time, I'll be doing another seminar. Some of the pastors who had taught during COVID actually passed away because of COVID. They caught COVID and died, and so their families have been left in very difficult situations. So that's one of the things that we're going to try and support. We're also going to support evangelism and church planting. So in Nigeria, one of our partners is very connected to a number of different churches. The same in India. My friend in Sri Lanka that's in a terrible situation with lockdown, but they're still managing to build 9 new churches. Can you believe that? Using local people. So we want to support that. We also support orphans. Bev and I personally do this as well in Kenya. And often there's a pastor who will contact me and say, the orphans literally have no food. Is there any way you can buy some rice for them? And it's often very basic items such as that. So we want to continue that. And we also want to teach the Word of God those who need training. That's part of what I do. It's part of my calling. It's part of what I believe in. So we would ask you to prayerfully consider where you can make some sacrifices. I don't know about you, I quite like a cup of coffee. A cup of coffee is not cheap, is it? Even if you, between then and now, forgo a cup of coffee, give something. Kids, I know you can do this as well. I'm amazed how many kids get pocket money and how much they get. Maybe some of you can say, do you know what? I'm going to sacrifice something of that to give to help people in other countries. Almost it doesn't matter the amount. That's between you and God. But can I ask all of you to prayerfully consider it and to be sacrificial in giving that? Because it's not for our benefit. It's really for those in different nations who need it. We don't do this very often. So I'm not going to labour that. Please prayerfully consider that and look at your situation. Towards the end of September, we're starting a whole new series based on Ephesians 5 verse 8, which talks about living as children of light. We know we live in a dark world, don't we? We know we live in a world where lots of people are facing depression or they're facing loneliness, mental health struggles, all of those issues. How do we live as children of light in those circumstances? So we're going to talk a little bit about that. Next slide, please. So there's three things that I think help us live as children of light. Firstly, it's about truth. We're going to talk about knowing who you are in Christ. The whole area of identity is a major issue in our society, isn't it? There's lots of confusing messages out there, even amongst our children, about the truth of who they are. And we want to concentrate about knowing who you are in Christ. It's absolutely critical, because you never, never, listen to me when I say this, and kids, listen as well, you never rise above the level of your thinking. You never rise above the level of your thinking. So embracing the truth of who you are in Christ is important. And then that sometimes means that we have to turn away from some stuff in our life because we have a spiritual enemy who seeks to trip us up, who seeks to bring us into bondage, who seeks to restrict us and contain us. There are times where we need to turn away from those things in our life that are wrong and turn towards God. And then the third thing can happen, transformation. And that involves us renewing our mind on the truth of God's word, that change can happen. Because it doesn't happen by us just simply trying harder, doesn't it? You've tried that, haven't you? It's kind of, if only I could try harder. Doesn't work, does it? No. But if we embrace the truth of God's word, then transformation can come into our lives. So I want to encourage you really from the end of September onwards to come along, to be part of that. Yeah, you can watch online as well, of course, if you're working shifts and stuff like that. But really those three key things, if you know you need change in your life, if you know you need to embrace something of the truth of God, then really embrace that. And then finally, as the worship team come to sing our final song, it is just a little bit about giving and our regular giving. For those of you who are regulars here, we encourage you to give electronically by standing order. Set it up with the bank because that helps us manage the resources. If you're not doing that, you can also give by cash. There's some envelopes at the back that you can put cash into. And there's a little box that you can give that to. There's no pressure on this, but we believe it's part of our responsibility towards the church, towards God, that we actually give some of our resources. Two-thirds of the parables of Jesus are actually about what we do with our possessions and our resources. So Jesus thinks it's important. It's not just us as a church giving you a hard time. Part of our responsibility, part of our spiritual. Jesus said, where your heart is, where your treasure is, there your heart will be also.